today, I just want to take the opportunity, if you would join me in thanking Angelo and Barbara and Gail Kamen, and doing a great job with the breakfast last week. Would you please? We did a great job. They did a great job. We did a great job eating. Some better than others. Let me give me a second here while I wake my tablet up. It's not working. Here we go. Okay. Technology is good when it works. Okay. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 today. We're going to talk what it means to live life in Christ. And Paul actually touched on that not too last week in his message, and he did a good job of talking about our unity in Christ. Did a real good job doing that. But I want to kind of take that another step along and say, how does this flesh out? To live life in Christ simply means this, that we live with our total dependence on Him to change us from the inside out. Isn't that what we sang before? It changes from the inside out. The fact of the matter is, every one of us here today, including me, has stuff inside of us that's not so pretty. Isn't that true? Things that we don't like anybody else to know or to admit because we're afraid that we'll be rejected or judged or something like that. Let me tell you, the one place that a church ought to be is a place where you can come in and in an appropriate setting say, hey, you know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling in a certain area. I'm struggling. What are some of the things we might struggle with? Anger, fear, addiction, immorality, lust, control. I mean, there's a number. We can go on and on and on. One of my favorite commercials has been the Febreze commercials. You ever watch the Febreze commercials, right? I meant to bring it with me this morning, and with everything going on, I just forgot. But in the Febreze commercial, they use a phrase that if you live with a stink long enough, you go nose blind. You know what they mean by that? You don't notice it anymore. And it's the same thing with us. If we live with the garbage that's in us, we can go nose blind to it and become insensitive to us. Now, listen, Febreze is a great product, and it works. But there comes a time where if you don't take the garbage out, it's not going to work anymore. All right. When I was young, I spilt milk, and I wanted to kind of hide it from my mom that I spilt the milk. So I got a dish towel, and I wiped it up. And they put the dish towel back in the drawer. It's a true story. I didn't know, right? I was young. I put the dish. After a couple of days, you know, my mother was going around the house saying, "What stinks? What stinks?" It was that dish towel, and we could have sprayed as much Lysol or anything. But the fact of the matter is, until you get rid of that stink, it's going to stink, right? I'm afraid that even sometimes in the church, we settle for superficial solutions that don't last because, you know, the stink is still inside. And so we're going to start. We're not going to get through all of it today probably, but we're going to start on seeing how Paul teaches the saints, the believers, the Christ followers in the Colossian church of the journey of becoming holy. So if you would read this with me, not read it, but read along with me. Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And here's the first step. He says, since you have been raised with Christ, how have we been raised with Christ as Christ followers? Well, the moment that you put your trust that Jesus died for you personally on the cross. He went in your place to die a death you deserve, that I deserve, to pay the penalty for my rebellion against God, which the Bible calls sin. The moment we believe that and we say to God, we want to turn from our our rebellious ways and turn towards you, the Bible says we've been born again. And I know that that phrase gets overused and abused all the time, but that's what the Bible says. And that means we are dying to the old life of rebellion and looking to God to work from the inside out to live in new life, being raised with Christ. What happened 3 days after Christ was crucified? He was raised from the dead with his resurrected body. Does that make sense? Okay. That resurrection power is available to us the moment we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve forgiveness, but Christ made it possible on the cross. Do we deserve resurrection power? No. When God gives us the good things we don't deserve, that's called grace. He grants us forgiveness. He grants us new life. He grants us new purpose. And he gives us the power to start changing from the inside out. That doesn't mean the moment that you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you're going to become perfect overnight. It doesn't work that way. God works at us a little bit of time and in baby steps in many cases. But he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. You heard the saying, you are what you eat, correct? I am what I eat, all right? I'm not making excuses, but it's true. Some of you have a good way of hiding it, all right? But you are what you eat. I want to take this a step further and say to you, you are what you think. You are what you think. Some very wise theologian years ago said, take stock of what the first thing you think of when you get up in the morning. And then take stock of what you think of last during the day. That will tell you basically where your heart is. And what Paul is saying, look, here's the way we need to start the day. And here's the way we need to live through the day. We need to set your minds on what? Verse 2, the things above, not on earthly things. Now, I want to clarify this, okay? Some have taken this out of context and said, well, you know, Paul is saying I'm just to concentrate on the things above, not on earthly things, so I don't have to go to work, I don't have to do this. No, it's not what Paul's saying here. Paul is saying is that when we set our minds on the things of Christ, the things that Christ says that we need to do in our lives, in his power, not ours, that what we do then here on earth is going to reflect that. So let me put it to you in a more concrete way. If you have a bad attitude going to work, Christ can correct that. Set your mind on things above, and he'll change your attitude. If you go to work and you think that your boss doesn't deserve a good day's work, for whatever reason, Christ will correct that. Because now what happens is when we set our focus and align it with God's focus through Christ, we start seeing things from his eyes. We have a higher purpose. And we realize when we go to work, or if we are a stay-at-home mom and you change the seat covers on your kids, whatever you do, now you're doing it not for a boss. You're not doing it for any other reason but the glory of God. And that ought to make a difference in our lives. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. For you died. Paul's saying the moment you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you died to yourself, and you died to Satan, and you died to sin. You're under new ownership. And that's the ownership of Jesus Christ. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let me unpack that a little bit. Okay. Do you realize once you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, no one and no circumstance could ever change that? You know, how many of you believe that? It's true. The Bible says it. Because your life in Christ is hidden with Christ. It's secure. It is secure in Christ. And so no circumstance, no person could ever take that away from you. That's why Paul says in Romans, no circumstance of life, no angel, no force in the universe can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. We hear too many times these days of people over in the Mideast being killed because they profess Christ. Isn't that true? But even though they're being killed by the hands of persecutors, nothing can take away the fact that they're still in Christ, not even death. And so our life is hidden with Christ. It's secure in Christ. And because our life is hidden with Christ, when we choose, and this has to be something that we need to yield to, when we choose to connect our life with the life of Christ, now the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, is able to start to change us from the inside out. Remember before the holidays, we talked about New Year's resolutions? One of the reasons why New Year's resolutions just don't work is because we try to do it in our own willpower. Willpower doesn't work. Resurrection power works. Willpower doesn't work. The power of the Holy Spirit works. One of the worst things we can say to somebody who's going through a tough time is just pull yourself up by the bootstrings and keep going. It's one of the worst things we can say because you know what? There have been times I didn't want to pull myself up from the bootstrings. But I've had to cry out to God and lift my hand up to His. And He pulled me up. He pulled me up. Not by any power of my own. I can't take credit for it. By His resurrection power. Every one of us here who comes to a point of trusting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior has the power within us if we allow God to change us from the inside out. So when we allow Him to do that, then changes start happening. Look at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with glory in Him. Paul touched on this last week. Remember Paul said that's going to be a time where Christ comes back for the church, the saints. First, those who have died in Christ, Christ followers who have died before Him coming back, and then for the church is still alive, we're going to meet in the cloud. And Microsoft, you don't have to pay them, right? We're going to meet in the cloud. And what this is saying is your life is so secure in Christ and with Christ and hidden in Christ that this is a sure thing. When Christ, who is your life, comes back again, you will appear with Him in glory. That's a promise. That's the promise. And He gets better. Oops. Can you help me over there? This isn't working for some reason. Okay. Thank you. Here's how we need to cooperate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do this on our own. Paul says, here's where your journey of transformation from the inside out has to start. We need to put to death. The literal translation is take off the dirty clothes. I worked in a gas station when I was in high school. I loved it. It was a great experience for me. My boss gave me all the dirty work. When I came home, I had more grease on me than the car had. And I couldn't wait to get those dirty clothes off, get in the shower, get cleaned up. And this is the picture of us having these dirty clothes on. It says, put to death or take off those clothes, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, our sinful nature. All of us have sinful natures. Isn't that true? Those of us who know Christ, we have a dual nature. We have a sinful nature and we have a holy nature because of the Spirit of God who lives in us. Excuse me. Notice that he starts with morality issues. He says, here's some of the stuff you need to take off. Sexual immorality. We've redefined in our modern culture what that is. When Paul writes these terms, we need to understand what the Bible says sexual immorality is. Sexual immorality is any sexual relationship outside of the bonds of marriage. Pretty simple. And it is also the abuse of what we call pornography. Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a word in the original language, pornea, from where we get the word pornography from. Now, this is countercultural because we have redefined sex much differently these days. Where if two people live together, it's okay. No, it's not okay. When two people are married, then it's okay. And so he says, refrain from sexual immorality. Some of that could spill over into what you watch. Isn't that true? What you see on television. You remember years ago, it used to be that when people want to indulge in pornography, they would go to an adult bookstore and they'd check, see if anybody was looking at them as they went in. Now you can order it on cable. Now you can order it on a computer. And nobody knows the difference. That's sexual immorality. Impurity. Impurity, it closely ties to that, right? Lustful thoughts. In fact, he talks about lust in the same venue. Evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. That verse 6 is crucial because if I were to read that literally from the original language, it would say, because of these things, the wrath of God has started and will get worse. Okay? Now listen to me carefully. I am deeply offended that our culture has given Hollywood the power and the authority to dictate morals to me. They have no business doing that. What makes them think they are right? If I want to know anything about moral behavior, moral purity, I come here. I go to the source. And yet we give people the right to do this? This is insane. And so, you know, as you're going to hear a lot of stuff on the news. You're going to hear a lot of stuff on talk shows. You're going to hear a lot of stuff of this. But listen, the only one who has the right to say what is right and wrong is God. And God alone. And how do we know that? It's here. And don't tell me, Pastor, you interpret it differently. No, let me tell you something. Because sexual immorality is sexual immorality. There's no way you compare that. Impurity is impurity. There's no way you compare that. Lust is lust. No way you compare that. Evil desires, covetousness, greed. There's no way you compare that. And this is not even an extensive list. And if we're honest with it ourselves, there's some of this lurking in all of us. And we are not going to get rid of it. We need God's help to get rid of it. And so we go to God and say, Lord, help me. Help me put these things off. Help me take these dirty clothes off. I mean, verse 7 says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. In other words, before you followed Christ, these things were normal. You know, when I say normal, it doesn't mean they were right. By the way, you've heard me say this before, just because something is legal doesn't make it moral. True? Just because something's legal doesn't make it moral. And so he's saying you used to live these ways when you were under different ownership, but now you're under the ownership of Jesus Christ. And through the resurrection power that he makes available to all of us who believe, grace can change you from the inside out. Yeah, you might say, hey, Pastor, tackling these all at once, boy, that's a tall order. No, you do one at a time. The Spirit of God knows what you need most. And He's going to be tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, you know, Lou, you need to work on this. Come on, let's do this together. And then when we make progress there, and He says, okay, now you can be working on this greed issue. You know what else is not in here is jealousy, right? Envy. I mean, we can go on and on. Remember, as good as Febreze is, until we get rid of the garbage, let me rephrase that. Until we let God get rid of the garbage, that stink is still going to come back. The stink is still going to come back. Then He gives you another list. But now you must rid yourself of all such things, such as, what's the first one? Anger. Nobody here has a problem with anger, right? Rage. Mary Lou and I saw a case of road rage yesterday. Rage. Malice. You know what malice is? Doing something with evil intent. Slander. Could replace that with gossip. Filthy language from your lips. Listen, I make a big deal of that only because what comes out of your mouth is an indication of what's in your heart. Is that a fair statement? Okay. What comes out of your mouth is an indication of what's in your heart. We were talking about this a little bit when we were doing a Sunday school class this morning with the teens and the 20-somethings. My wife had the unpleasant ordeal of working in the high school a couple of years back. And she was in the grade school, but the grade school prior to that. So they asked her to help out in the high school. She helped out in the high school. And she was shocked at the normal language of the students. And when she asked the teacher about it, she just said, that's the way they talk. That's the way they talk. Doesn't make it right. Filthy language. You know? And if you don't believe your words reveal what's in your heart, listen to yourself sometimes. If you don't believe words can hurt, you're wrong. They hurt. Remember, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? They hurt. They hurt, and they can hurt big time. Filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self. That new self we're going to talk about next week. All right? So this is a two-stage process. We let God help us to get rid of the garbage. And again, that's a continuing journey. And then we let God help put on new clothes. Ones that don't smell. Ones that honor Him and glorify Him. And we'll get into that next week. Okay? Does this make sense? All right? Any questions on this? I mean, listen to me. This side of heaven will never be perfect. Can we agree on that? But we can make progress. God doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for progress. And the only way you and I are going to make progress is by His grace and His power. But we need to submit and yield to Him in order to do this. Let's not settle for Febreze solutions anymore. And I won't even say to you, take the garbage out. What I will say is let God take the garbage out. Because when God takes the garbage out, it's out once and for all. We'll look at the next part of this next week. I know some of you aren't able to be here week to week. I know that. But if you can make the effort to come to see the continuity of this thing, this is life-changing stuff. This is the only way inner transformation can happen. Everything else is just superficial and a temporary fix. If you want to learn more about this in a little bit deeper way, ladies, come to the study on Tuesday night and you'll learn some more about this. If you want to learn more about this, come to the Sunday school Sunday morning. You'll be able to learn more, especially in Revelation. Revelation is a book of holiness and worship. You have so many opportunities to do this. Take advantage of those opportunities. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
It's one thing I